Hey, your mic's on.
Thank you, Madam Clerk, and welcome. It's September already. How'd that happen? Welcome to the September 1st meeting of San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors. If you would all rise and please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, I understand there are a few changes to the agenda today.
Just a few. Staff is recommending the cover sheet be amended, adjourning the meeting to September 8, 2009, Joint Board of Supervisors Planning Commission meeting in the board chambers. Amended items on consent, A2, submittal of a resolution adopting the 2009-10 tax rates for the secured property tax roll, recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Staff is recommending this item be amended by adding page 2 to the resolution, which was inadvertently left out of the packet. A11, submittal of a bid opening report for the rehabilitation and repainting of the Cayucas water storage tank in Cayucas 2nd District. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign contract documents with AA1 Painting Service Incorporated in the amount of $46,813 and authorize the Public Works Director or designee to approve change orders up to $4,680 for contingencies. Staff is recommending this item be amended by replacing the transmittal to clarify the language in Part 2 of the recommendation. Added items on consent, A18 is a request by Supervisor Hill to appoint Tracy Del Rio to the Airport Land Use Commission. Recommend approval. A19, request to cancel the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for September 15, 2009. Recommend approval. A20, submittal of a resolution recognizing Mike and Charlotte Byrne for their exemplary service to the service and families of San Luis Obispo County through Family Care Network. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. A21 is a letter transmitting plans and specifications for the construction of Avila Beach Drive Bluff Erosion Repair Project, Avila Beach 3rd District. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to give notice of bid opening set for September 21st, 2009 at 3 p.m. We have an added item under the presentation calendar, B1C, submittal of a resolution proclaiming September 19th, 2009 as California Coastal Cleanup Day. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. Staff is recommending this item be added to the presentation calendar following item B1B. We have an added item under closed session, under pending litigation, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, number 22, Agricultural Business and Labor Educational Coalition of San Luis Obispo County versus the County of San Luis Obispo et al., and 23, Sedgwick versus Trong. It's a subrogation matter. Requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. That's all of them.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. That brings us to our consent agenda. I do have a couple requests to speak here. We'll start with Carol Fleury, followed by Dr. C. Height.
Thank you. I am Carol Fleury from the Community Action Partnership of San Luis Obispo County, formerly known as EOC. And I am here, everyone else is back in Philadelphia, but I am here to thank the county once again for your support of our program through the community-based grants, which you were approving that contract this morning, I hope. And just thank you so much, because now it is more important than ever that we keep these programs going to help people. We're having more and more people come to us for help. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fleury. Dr. Height, followed by Eric Greening.
I'm Dr. C. Height, Los Osos Rural Community Workshop. Health items A9 and A10. Request to approve a fiscal year 2009-10 renewal contract with Family Care Network in the amount of, is this right, $3,343,345? To provide various mental health services, and then A10 is request approval a fiscal year 2009-2010 renew contract with Transitions Mental Health Association in the amount of $3,943,111 to provide various mental health services. And I have long advocated for Transitions mental health. I'm a person who filed a citizen's complaint when the county decided they could balance their budget by cutting out Transitions growing grounds. But I wanted the public to know, because a lot of, if you don't speak about the item, that's just people at home don't know how much money is being funneled into mental health. That's a lot of money, and I'm wondering, is this a regular budget item? Was this part of the regular budget, and why wasn't this on last week's agenda for the 2009-10 budget? I want people to know how much money is going into mental health. Your Family Care Network used to provide services for family so families could be healthy. And now there seems to be big money. I've said this for a long time. There seems to be big money in mental health. There's big money in mental suffering. And I want you to consider the decisions that you make, because when you keep cutting the funds to CHC Clinic, you are creating mental suffering. You don't go put on an old ball cap and jeans and sit in that waiting room at the Morro Bay Clinic and see what's going on, seeing that every time someone comes in, they're being told that the doctors are going to be transferred, the clinic's going to close, the clinic's going to move, they're going to cut out chiropractic, they're going to cut out this. You don't see the kind of terror that people feel, how diminished that they are, knowing that they might not even be able to provide health services to their families, and if the mom and the pop get sick, how will they take care of their kids? This is mental suffering. You are in the business of creating mental illness, and you are profiting from it. You cut the chiropractic services, you're going to have people on pills. And being on pain medication can be a serious problem. You're going to have people drinking to deal with their pain. So consider this. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Height. Mr. Greening.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Eric Greening, and also on mental health, A9 and A10. I have a specific question on A10. I believe it's page 4, item 10 there. It refers to a North County location for the receiving of service. And I'm just trying to cross-reference. I recall during the budget hearing there was discussion about consolidating services that were available in two North County locations into one, and I'm wondering if this is the one, and if we have enough experience with that one now to know whether the people who were using the other one in Paso Robles have transportation to this one, or whether there are transportation issues or people who are losing service as a result of that consolidation. Perhaps that's not even what this is about, but since it's there, I wanted to ask that question. Relative to, I think it's A19, canceling a meeting on the 15th, is this because business is actually slow here, or is it because there were things planned for that day that suddenly couldn't be done, something wasn't available, and so we're going to have to jump over that date? I'm asking that question partly because I'm hoping we don't get into a fits and starts thing where we suddenly have hugely overloaded agendas that there are things we could have worked on sooner rather than later, because we know how ugly it gets when there's a huge press of business and a lot of people waiting for a lot of items and people working late here. And then finally, relative to Mike and Charlotte Byrne, the whereases there mention all kinds of amazing, remarkable, public-spirited things that they have done. And I know you don't like long resolutions, but I just want to state for the record that that's maybe less than half of the whereases that could be there in terms of the remarkable contributions they have made and continue to make, including things like riding a bicycle the length of California to raise funds for AIDS. So anyway, thank you for honoring them.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. That was my last request to speak, so we'll close comment on the consent agenda, bring it back to ask my colleagues if they have items for separate comment. Mr. Meacham.
Just clarification for...
Clarification for Mr. Green on item 10, please. All right. Mr. Patterson?
And that was my only question.
Mr. Shadian?
None, thank you.
All right. Mr. Hill?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'll make a couple comments on 16 and 19. So, Mr. Hamm, you might...
Morning, Mr. Chairperson, members of the board, Jeff Hamm, Health Agency. They are separate. The comment that Mr. Greening made about, in reference to the consolidation of the two North County mental health outpatient clinics, was an issue that we presented in our on our cut list with the budget development process for 09-10. That's expected to happen sometime halfway through this fiscal year, and we are trying to be we're trying to get more specific information about the problem, the transportation problem that we think is going to be a barrier for some clients who are able to get to the Paso Clinic now and are going to be less able to get to the Atascadero Clinic. Talked with the SOCOG staff yesterday to try and understand more fully what those barriers are going to be. They mentioned there's going to be an unmet needs hearing in December. We're going to get them detailed information about our client volume in Paso so that they're able to fold that into their process. And as we indicated in the budget, we do expect there to be some transportation barriers that will impact our clients' ability to get to Atascadero. That's an unfortunate consequence of the budget cuts. Does that respond to the point, Supervisor Meacham?
It was, and Mr. Hammond, also, I know we were going to reach out to some of the hospitals, too, to see if they would be willing to contribute in any way, shape, or form for transportation needs that we may have, and I don't know when we're going to be doing that or talking with them. But
I know we're reaching out to the hospitals to see if they'll help fund the homeless services program coordinator.
We're reaching out quite a bit. Thank you.
Yeah.
And just one general question. In terms of funding for mental health services, the Mental Health Services Act is the has been the one bright spot in any of the funding. And in looking at both A9 and 10, there's a little bit up, there's a little bit down. MHSA is also, funding is also used within our behavioral health science. I wonder if you could give just a brief report on where we are. What are we expecting from MHSA in terms of looking forward?
I'll try. As you pointed out, it has been the one growth revenue stream in the health agency, specifically in the behavioral health department, for the last several years. The macro projections coming out of Sacramento statewide for MHSA is that over the next several years, the overall funding level is likely to decline slightly. So that great news is coming to an end, and we'll expect to see that taper off and perhaps reduce over the next several years. It has been a tremendous boon to the services that we're able to provide to our clients. And in these two items, a total of 18 identifiable MHSA programs, all a result of the community-based planning process that MHSA requires. And some programs that we've shifted, if you will, from core funding to MHSA funding to the extent that that's possible. So it has been an extraordinary benefit to the county.
All right, if I could just follow up so quickly, too, in regard to the transportation issues. I mean, we've just been told, too, that the TDA funding is going to be reduced about 15% as well, so even in the unmet transit needs, it's going to be difficult to meet some of the requests that are going to be presented at that point, too.
Not out of the woods yet by any by any means.
No, sir. Thank you, sir.
Sir.
On A16 is a memorandum of understanding between the Friends of the Library in Cambria and the County of San Luis Obispo. And I'm extremely proud and happy that this is on our consent agenda today. It memorializes the an important agreement between a very active community group and the county. You may remember as we talk about capital projects, when we talk about putting new library facilities on the ground, we expect half of that capital cost to be borne by the community and half through the public facilities fees that the county accumulates. So with this, I feel like we're at the gun has just gone off as we approve this. The race has started now. The Friends have a tremendously ambitious goal of over $1 million to raise in a fairly short time frame. Certainly wish them well and will be most supportive. I'd like to thank everybody who participated in developing this, County Council's office, the admin office, the Friends, and certainly the Library Department for their input, as well as General Services. So it's been a broad-based participation, and we're looking for a tremendous result out of it in the very near future, I hope. A19 is the cancellation of our September 15th meeting, and Mr. Greening, that just is one of those chance things. Items are tentatively scheduled for the agenda weeks in advance. That agenda was extremely light. One thing fell off, and pretty soon we had very little to talk about on Tuesday. So we felt that although we certainly understand your concerns about packed agendas, that it really was a better application of our time, your time, our video crew's time to take a pass on that. We'll certainly know that we're working on county business up in the offices on that day. We are going to be meeting next Tuesday, the 8th, which would normally not be a meeting day because it's the day after Labor Day. But I think we'll have a very interesting discussion. We're going to hold a joint session with our Planning Commission talking about the permit process, about streamlining permits, about the roles and responsibilities of the board and the Planning Commission. And we will be wrestling with, or I hope approving, Mr. Warren Jensen's long-awaited policy on the submission of written materials. We're trying to get a little ahead of the curve so we don't end up with huge wads of paper dumped on our desk the day of the hearing. So we're going to be talking about that, hopefully make the process all around work better. So with that, I'd entertain a motion on consent.
Move approval of consent agenda items, including the amendments.
I have Mr. Shajan and Mr. Meacham on that motion, although we'll take a roll call vote.
Mr. Shajan?
Aye.
Mr. Meacham?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes. Thank you. That brings us to public comment for items not on the agenda. I do have a few requests to speak. We'll start with Mr. Ron Castle, followed by Dr. C. Hyde.
Good morning. 3 minutes isn't a very long time, but I wasn't able to attend the meeting last Tuesday, and I just wanted to clarify a couple of things. First of all, CHC appreciates the resources that we receive from the county, but in reviewing the video, there are questions that came up that I thought needed to be clarified. One, FQHC is essentially a reasonable cost-based reimbursement for Medi-Cal and Medicare patients. It is not a subsidy for uninsured patients. Two, there was a discussion about Obama funding. We have gotten some Obama funding. It's restricted. Three, you may not be aware, but we've lost $2.5 million possibly up to $4 million in state funding, totaling a total of $5 million if you add the $1.4 that the county recently cut. Now, that's 5% of our operating budget. We recently laid off 80% of our health educators and nutritionists because we needed to save some funds. And I think that basically the process that we have here is flawed. From the time that the county administrative office gives Mr. Hamm the marching orders to reduce operating revenues and county funds, it is a process that guarantees an outcome, which is that you will have reduced services. Now, you saw last Tuesday a very angry public. You heard from doctors, you heard from the public, and I don't think most of you were really aware of the impact that these cuts are having on this community. And I'm really urging you that this is so important that we really need to get ahead of the ball game. We were told that we had to sign the contract in order to basically move it forward. All along, we said we disagreed with it. We even put an addendum that said that we disagreed with it. We didn't think it was adequate, and yet it was presented to this board meeting that, well, they've signed it, so that must mean they agree with it. Nothing could be further from the truth. You approved a budget, county budget, in June, I believe, and here it was 7 weeks later, we were talking about our specific budget. Now, this is going to continue to come up, and I really believe that, please, this is a priority. You heard from the doctors. This is life and death issue. 30,000 people rely on our system, your system, for care. We've had our budget cut by 40%, and yet we receive we've continued to provide 90% of the services.
Mr. Castle,
what other contractor would you treat this way?
Thank you. Mr. Castle, I'm afraid your time is up, but as you did see in the video, we are interested in CHC continuing discussions with Mr. Hamm and the health agency about how we can move forward together. And
to say that we have 10 days worth of operating expenses. Cash available. We are tapped out. We've made up with our own funds, the county funds that have been cut, and we're just not going to be in a position next year to continue to take these cuts and not reduce services. We want the same privilege that you offer your other departments. If you're going to reduce funding, you allow them to reduce services. We have 90% of the same work plan we had in 2004, and yet we have 40% less funds.
Well,
not only is that unfair, but it's just unreasonable.
Well, we look forward to a detailed discussion of that, Mr. Hamm, and hopefully get the details on the table, as you say, get ahead of the game on this one. Dr. Height, followed by David Weissman.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos Rural Community Workshop, and how are the clients and the public going to be included in these discussions and these negotiations? I really wanted to speak in the afternoon, and I'm sorry that I had to leave. I didn't get to speak on the CHC issue. The funny thing about your medical crisis, I was led to believe that I had a medical appointment, traveled all the way to Morro Bay, and found out that I didn't. And it's really kind of amazing that my son has a genius IQ, and yet he's not smart enough to be able to negotiate a medical appointment for us. I guess he's certainly young enough, and he's certainly handsome enough. I'm not really sure where the deficiency is here. Your medical crisis goes unaddressed. You are contributing to it. And it is, your apathy is just astounding. And I again challenge you, put on a ball cap and an old pair of jeans and go sit in one of these waiting rooms and see what your decisions are doing. I didn't mention this item because it was about the Sheriff's Coroner accepting the Recovery Act Edward Burns Memorial Justice Assistance Grant, and it's really sad that a fallen firefighter goes unnoticed. And I was really, really outraged when your sheriff was in this room and your former administrator made this Kooky Burns 77 Sunset Strip joke. I mean, Los Osos doesn't have enough time to speak, and yet you didn't censor him. A completely inappropriate comment. And if you'd have censored that man way back when, certainly Gail Wilcox's right is that the board tolerated his really inappropriate remarks and inappropriate behaviors. What chance does she have? I mean, your district attorney can't even come up with a case against a rapist when there's witnesses. So what chance does a woman who's being sexually harassed have? It's her word against anyone else's. And on the housing element, I worked really, really hard on this, and I was really sorry that there was a mix-up in medical appointments, and I missed that issue. I'm going to continue to address this issue. And I want to read, when I invited the public to find out about housing, this is what I said: come see how the city of SLO controls housing security in Los Osos and the county. And what was really amazing is before this even started, all of a sudden I was a bad person and a bad tenant. This is how the city of SLO handles it. The public did attend. It was absolutely amazing. My ability to find out about a program for everyone left me damaged.
Thanks, Dr. Height. Mr. Weissman, followed by Eric Greening.
Good morning, supervisors. David Weissman with the Alliance for Nuclear Responsibility, the only organization right now dealing with nuclear energy issues on a statewide basis in California, from Sacramento to San Diego and San Francisco as well. And today I come before you because in our research this summer, we discovered that the Nuclear Regulatory Commission plans to discuss the generic environmental impact statement for relicensing of nuclear reactors. That's their broad overview generic impact statement. And they are looking for public comment and input on this revised statement. And, of course, as a community that has a reactor that can apply for relicensing, we think it would be prudent for San Luis Obispo to get involved in this process. But in reading the document, which I will leave a copy of for and have submitted to the board, we discovered that they're holding 5 meetings across the nation to discuss this. And only 1 meeting is being held west of the Mississippi. And that meeting is here in our most populous state, California. And when we looked at it, we saw that the meeting was being held in Westlake Village, north of Los Angeles, on 22nd of September at 7 p.m. And it occurred to us, well, if you have a reactor in San Luis Obispo, and you have a reactor near San Diego, why would you hold the meeting in Los Angeles? And the answer was, well, logically, if you take a map and you draw a line between the two, you see it's the halfway point. Obviously, the people in Washington, D.C. have never sat on the 405 freeway anywhere south or north of Los Angeles on a weekday, needing to be somewhere on time by 7 p.m. That only makes sense when I was the only person outside of the city of Lone Pine to attend the Department of Energy hearing on where they were going to move the radioactive waste, and I looked at the map and saw these curvy roads, and I said, how did you guys do this? And they said, well, we use MapQuest. You see, they don't really pay attention. We think they should pay attention. We brought this to the attention of Supervisor Hill, and we are pleased and thank the committee and the Board of Supervisors for sending a letter to the NRC, and may I suggest carbon copying Senator Boxer on Environment and Public Works Committee in Washington, as well as Congresswoman Capps, to let them know we think it's extremely inconsiderate and disingenuous for the NRC to invite public opinion and then place the meeting in a place that no one in St. Louis can get to in any reasonable fashion. You'd have to almost send someone from the county. They'd have to take a hotel and come back. The meeting won't end until 10 o'clock at night, and it's over 3 hours away. They certainly are not familiar strangers to our Embassy Suites Hotel. They've been there before. They put some money into our hotel tax recovery fund. So we thank Supervisor Hill for having taken a look at this letter, for preparing a letter, and we thank you for requesting that they honor this community's request for input into this important process. This may be a generic impact, but we have seismic issues here that are very specific, and we're very concerned about these seismic issues and don't want them see them reduced to a generic study based on other parts of the country that don't have earthquakes. In fact, we've asked them the question, generically, how far from an earthquake fault should you store high-level radioactive waste in perpetuity? Because that's what we'll be faced with. So thank you for your attention to this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Weissman. Mr. Greening.
Thank you. I'm Eric Greening, and I'll start by endorsing the comments of Mr. Weissman and thanking you for your attention and the need for continued attention. Relative to the issue raised by Mr. Castle, it is worth remembering that thanks to SLOSEE, there is still $700,000 in the health budget that has been sort of tentatively set aside for certain capital projects but has not been appropriated. That will be discussed today by the Budget Committee of the Health Commission, which is meeting, and that will be immediately followed by the Legislative Committee. They're going to be meeting in the old General Hospital building. Remember when we used to have a General Hospital? This afternoon at 4. And so this is a public meeting. It's open to the public. And whatever they recommend is likely to go before the Health Commission and come in the form of their recommendation on the 14th in this room, Monday the 14th in this room at 6 p.m. That's also a public meeting, and I hope that whatever recommendations come from those folks, you will give them good attention. There are some real needs on a day-to-day basis, and I hope that they can be met with some of the money that's out there. Speaking of some of the money that's out there and isn't out there, Mr. Hamm was correct that the TDA process is going to be, or the unmet needs process is going to be culminating in December this year. And the public, as well as yourselves, need to be aware that is an accelerated schedule from the usual schedule. Normally the hearing is in February, but the hearing before the Council of Governments on unmet bicycle and transit needs will be on December 2nd, and the final date for receiving of requests by various media is the 9th. You'll be hearing more about it. But relative to the drop in TDA amount, it's also important to be aware that you have now adopted this implementations of your SMART growth principles, one of which is to use TDA to fully fund public transit before diverting any of that money to road uses. And given that the one part of your budget that's actually looking better than it had is roads, I think that is something you should be ready to do, to basically use whatever TDA is necessary to keep our transit system whole before any of it goes into a road budget that, for whatever strange reason, actually seems to be looking better than we had expected. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. That's my last request to speak, and we'll close general public comment. Mr. Hill, you have a...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up on Mr. Weissman's comments. We are sending a letter, just to clarify, it's just not from my office, not on behalf of the board, obviously, to the NRC about this issue of which the DOE, as you pointed out, has also done when they schedule these meetings very far from the communities that are most affected by the decisions. I think it's highly problematic, and also be in contact with Assemblymember Blakesley, who's also been concerned about these issues as well.
Thank you. Thank you for tracking that on behalf of all residents of the county. With that, I would entertain a motion on our presentation calendar as amended. We have Mr. Ashajian moving and Mr. Patterson seconding. Madam Clerk, a roll call.
Mr. Ashajian?
Aye.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Meacham?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes. We have three presentations today. The first one proclaims September as National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month. I've asked Supervisor Patterson to read that resolution.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd like to ask Sue Warren, Wes Davis, and Carolyn London to come forward. Gives me great pleasure to read this resolution to proclaim the month of September 2009 is National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month in San Luis Obispo County. Whereas alcoholism and drug addiction can and do have devastating health, economic, and social consequences, and whereas of the 23.2 million people aged 12 or older in the United States who needed treatment for a substance use disorder in 2007, including millions of adults who also suffered from a concurrent mental illness, 3.9 million have courageously opted to seek some form of treatment, and we need to recognize their achievements, support them and their families, and reach out to those still in need. Whereas the recovery community in San Luis Obispo County is made up of strong individuals, organizations, recovery centers, group homes, and coalitions which seek to promote resilience and sobriety while increasing people's awareness of how substance use disorders affect children, families, and our society. Whereas thousands of individuals in San Luis Obispo County are living sober, productive lives as a result of prevention, treatment, and recovery services. And whereas the recovery community of San Luis Obispo County, along with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, and San Luis Obispo County Drug and Alcohol Services invites all residents to participate in the 20th anniversary of National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month, and guide those in our community who need alcohol and drug treatment toward the promising path of recovery. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim September 2009 as National Alcohol and Drug Addiction Recovery Month, and calls upon all residents to observe this month with appropriate programs, activities, and ceremonies supporting this year's theme, Join the Voices for Recovery, Together We Learn, Together We Heal. Thank you.
Come back into center here.
Face upside down.
Would you like to say a few words?
Yes. Supervisors, I just want to thank you so much for this. It means a lot to me personally and to our whole recovering community for your support. And that's what it takes, is ongoing support. We are healing families. We are healing communities. And our recovery community, I have to tell you, is really growing. And Frank and I were talking a little bit earlier about that. You know, it's become a national phenomenon now to get clean and sober. And it's on any TV program. And it's, you know, people I talk to just off the street talk about, oh, well, we watch The Cleaner, and we watch Dr. Drew, and we watch the other one on the sober living homes, and it's become the in thing, which is wonderful, because that's what needs to happen to heal families. And we need ongoing support for those people in recovery. It's not something that happens overnight, and then we're done with it. It is ongoing support, because life happens and people relapse. And it was brought up somewhere earlier today around the pain medications. And that's a huge issue, even for people in recovery. And they have surgeries and things happen. And those pain medications are highly addictive and can kick people back into their addiction. So we've lost some celebrities recently around that. So it's helping us become more aware of that. This is a disease just like diabetes. It's something we don't have to have, but we do get it. Many of us do. And we just appreciate your awareness, the education, and the fact that we can heal. And we'll heal our families, we'll heal our communities. And I'd like to extend an invitation to all of you. I handed out the invitation Sunday the 29th. It's September. We will finish up this month with our annual Recovery Happens barbecue, but we always have a speaker that comes in to help educate the community. And we've asked Dr. Lovern to come in from the Drug and Alcohol Advisory Board and speak to the issue of treatment. He's got a lot of experience for years with treatment issues and dual diagnosis, and can speak to the area of just healthy families and healthy communities. He spent a lifetime devoted to that, and particularly in that he talks about it's an open door. We need to have an open door for people to find recovery, whether they do it through their church, or they do it through their community center, or they get it through the court system. We need to have lots of resources for them, because it's only going to save us money and lives. Thank you. And again, thank you so much.
Ms. Warren, thank you. And on behalf of my colleagues, I've had an opportunity to talk with a number of people in the recovery community, as you call it. I'm always impressed by their commitment and their caring, and the partnerships they form with our own Drug and Alcohol Services, which today is represented by Mr. Frank Warren over against the wall with the camera. So, again, on behalf of all my colleagues, we thank you for all the great work you do.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis, absolutely, please.
I just want to thank you guys so much. I'm a third generation from this county, and I've seen recovery grow. There's standing room only in a lot of the places where that offer recovery. I get to see the children come in and the chain be broken. For 5 years now, we've actually had sober softball and stuff that has grown hugely in this county, too, thanks to these people who do this great work, you know, and thanks to you guys who support it. You know, and I just want to give a great, heartfelt thanks to you guys.
Thank you. And
I just feel like I must come up and just thank you. Also, firstly, Carolyn London, they said it all. I'm not a speaker. I love doing the work, and I really appreciate when people appreciate us. It just encourages us to keep doing what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. Our second presentation is to a group and surrounds an issue related here, and I've asked Supervisor Shajan to read.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It gives me great pleasure to read this resolution of the Board of Supervisors proclaiming September 9th as National Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorder Day, FASD. At this time, I would like to invite the twins, Ms. Campbell and Ms. Fraser, who are better known as the backbone of this organization.
Oh, God.
Allow me, Mr. Chair, the following resolution is hereby offered and read. Whereas healthy children are the most important resource in San Luis Obispo County, and fetal alcohol spectrum disorders pose a serious threat to the potential health of our future generation. And whereas more than 30 years have passed since fetal alcohol syndrome was identified and named as a birth disorder by United States researchers. And whereas in 2008, 30% of pregnant women in San Luis Obispo County reported drinking alcohol in their first trimester. And whereas people around the world began observing International FASD Awareness Day on September 9th each year beginning in 1999, in order that on the ninth day of the ninth month of the year, the world will remember that during the ninth month of pregnancy, a woman should abstain from alcohol. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed by the Board of Supervisors, designated September 9th Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Day, to promote awareness of the effects of prenatal exposure to alcohol, to increase compassion for those individuals so affected, to minimize further effects, and to ensure healthier communities across San Luis Obispo County in the future. Ladies, would you come forward and accept this resolution, please?
Center.
Don't cover your face with the resolution. Yeah. We can ask the other if it didn't work.
No, it didn't flash.
Yeah.
Did it? Okay. I just want to say a few things. Am I on? Oh, there I am. This is the 10th anniversary of FASD Awareness Day, and we have put together a big event that's going to happen on September 9th right across the street at the courthouse. We're going to be having several speakers come and talk about the effects of alcohol on pregnancy and the importance that we as a county support alcohol-free pregnancies. We need to do this as a community, not just a one-on-one, but it's got to be a community support that we support our moms and our children in this community. We will be placing white flags on the courthouse lawn on September 8th, representing every child in this county that has been exposed to alcohol. And I'm sorry to say, we'll be placing 2,430 flags on that lawn. We can double that. We are only screening or assessing about half the women in this county. So we know that many children are double. And research has shown that alcohol is worse than even crack cocaine or any illegal drug that a mom can take during pregnancy, because it changes the brain so much that we get learning and behavioral problems with our children. I had the privilege of speaking at the state a year and a half ago on this issue, and I told one of our assembly people that if we took care of exposing children to alcohol during pregnancy, we could probably not open another prison, we could probably not do any more individual education plans for our kids, or as many as we do,
This is an effect that goes unnoticed unless these children are born so extremely affected by alcohol. And it's something that we need to step up and say, no more. It doesn't take a lot to abstain from alcohol during pregnancy. But I'm going to tell you, in a country and in a county, that wine especially is such an avid part of everything we do in this county. We need to really support that women who are pregnant do not drink alcohol. I'm going to let Lisa talk just a minute about beginnings, and then we have a gift for you.
Good morning, and thank you, Chairman Gibson and Board of Supervisors, for letting us come today and educate you about our concerns about alcohol use during pregnancy. My name is Lisa Fraser. I direct the San Luis Obispo Child Abuse Prevention Council. I'm here on behalf of Beginnings, which is a collaborative of the county agencies, nonprofit organizations, and individuals who have been working together to bring this up to the forefront for all of us to be aware of about our concerns about women drinking during their pregnancies. So today, we want to thank you for letting us educate you, educate the communities, but also we'd like to give you a gift so you could help us promote this message throughout the county. And Dan, would you like to help me?
Sure.
Dana?
Dana.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
You get the biggest one for
me. Yeah, yeah.
And I just want to close with the to acknowledge our sponsors of the collaborative, which is First Five San Luis Obispo County, the United Way of San Luis Obispo County, who make it possible for us to come out and do the activities, educate the community, and create public awareness in the county of San Luis Obispo.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies. Supervisor Shajan has a couple comments here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Always learn a lot from the ladies. It's been a pleasure to work with them on different organizations that health related. But I want to apologize. On September 9th, I'll be out of the county attending Coastal Commission meeting, so I'll be missing your event. So wish you my very best.
Thank you. But you're all invited.
Again, thank you. And again, we thank you for all the wonderful work that that you do. Part of that community of folks who give so much to others. We have one more presentation today, and my pleasure to read it. Ask Morgan Rafferty of the of EcoSloat to come forward. And this is a resolution proclaiming September 19th. 2009 is California Coastal Cleanup Day in San Luis Obispo County. The resolution reads as follows. Whereas the state of California has a remarkably varied coastline of sandy beaches, rocky shores, productive estuaries, marshes, tidal flats, urban areas, and harbors, and whereas the natural resources of the coastal zone are among California's most important environmental and economic resources, and whereas the marine environment is one of the most valuable resources for recreation, tourism, fishing, and other coastal industries, and whereas San Luis Obispo County is strongly committed to the wise management of the coastline to ensure that the environmental, recreational, and economic values of the coastline zone will be sustained, and whereas preserving the productivity and quality of coastal resources requires public awareness, support, and an understanding that protection of the coast is a responsibility shared by individual citizens, the business community, and public institutions. And whereas the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County has organized Coastal Cleanup Day on the Central Coast for the past 5 years, removing over 20,000 pounds of marine debris from our beaches and waterways with the help of more than 5,000 volunteers, now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby proclaim September 19, 2009 as California Coastal Cleanup Day in San Luis Obispo County and encourages individual citizens, businesses, groups, and public institutions to observe this event and to participate in appropriate activities designed to promote a healthy and productive coastal environment for the benefit of the people of San Luis Obispo County, California, and the nation. Ms. Rafferty? Ms. Rafferty, I imagine you can tell us a little bit about the activities of the day. It sounds indeed a day of celebration of the coast, but also a work day, perhaps?
Exactly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. We appreciate your support every year of Coastal Cleanup Day. And as you said, September 19th is Coastal Cleanup Day from 9 to 12. And if you go to our website, ecoslow.org, you'll find a list of all the beach sites. And I'd like to introduce Ashley Gusalbert. She's one of the interns from Cal Poly who's been helping us out this summer to organize. And we have, I believe, nearly 30 beach sites identified now. And there will be site captains there to help you out with supplies when you arrive, and you can pick your favorite beach or go someplace new, whatever you prefer. And we appreciate the help. This is, as some of you know, the largest worldwide volunteer event. People all over the world will come out on that day, and we'll gather information about marine debris. And the California Coastal Commission, as our coastal commissioner here, Supervisor Ashajian, in his role as the commissioner, knows that the Coastal Commission organizes Coastal Cleanup Day throughout the state, and then we submit all of our information that we gather here in the county to the Coastal Commission, and they submit that information to the Ocean Conservancy. So it's a very important effort worldwide to gather information about our beaches and coastlines all over the world. So we appreciate the efforts of everyone when they come out. And this is the 25th anniversary of Coastal Cleanup Day, so it's an even bigger celebration this year. And so we hope everyone listening and everyone here will come out and join us on September 19th from 9 to 12.
All right. And contact information again?
You can call us at 544-1777, or you can go to our website and click on the link that says Coastal Cleanup Day and find a map of all the beach sites. It's ecoslow.org, ecoslow.org.
Ecoslow.org.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. With that, we've actually concluded the open meeting items on our agenda for the morning. We come then to adjourning to closed session. I don't have any requests to speak on closed session. Seeing no one coming forward, we'll close it to the public and ask Ms. Neal for an estimate of our time in closed session.
Chairman Gibson, Rita Neal from County Council, I would say about 45 minutes in closed session. Today.
45 minutes, and we will be reconvening at 1:30 for the afternoon session as usual. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Clerk. We will reconvene the afternoon session. I'm going to ask for those slips for folks in general public comment. I have four right now, and that's what we'll go with. We'll start with Ms. Neal. Report out of closed session, please.
Yes, good afternoon. Rita Neal from County Council. The board did meet in closed session on some of the items on the agenda. No final action was taken, and therefore there's no report out of closed session.
All right. Thank you. Do that very well. Thank you. Thank you very much. With that, we come to public comment for items not on the agenda. We will go with the got five now requests to speak in general public comment. We'll start with Keith Weimer, followed by Al Barrow. On that mic should be on. We'll ask the audiovisual crew whether the you can push the bottom button on the very bottom of the microphone. Hold until the red light. Try that again, Keith.
Is it on?
Yes.
Great. Let me make sure this is up. And you've seen this before, but this leads into my new information. I just wanted to clarify, first off, I'm not a hydrogeologist. This is based on the information that Rob Miller gave me. It's a data point for right here, 250 milligrams of chloride at the community Palisades well. That's what they used as an indicator for the front edge of seawater intrusion. And this is the line back in 2005. This is where I put it in 2009, so you can see at least a pretty clear suggestion that we got acceleration going. I just want to make make sure that you know that this green area, it's seawater contamination as I depict it. It could be thinner. This plume could be thinner. It could be wider. It could be out here further, but it's not likely to be much in much further because it's from this well right here. And the lowest aquifer, the zone E, would probably be out in here somewhere because it tends to be farther. This is the other one that I showed you, and this shows the low water levels. And as I mentioned, the seawater seawater intrusion, the only way it can be stopped is if these levels in this low aquifer are actually above sea level, 9 to 17 and a half feet, which would make this this right here as much as 27 feet that it has to come up. Here's the only thing I put on this map, and that is the Palisades Well. Back at the back here in this low area is where the South Bay Boulevard is, and we're talking about getting pretty close to the end of the aquifer here. This is the information you haven't seen. This is a depiction of the figures that from the ISJ studies. This shows Zone D, and you can see these lines here will show where seawater intrusion is going to end up. And this is according to Rob. Once they implement their plan, which is reducing 900 acre feet of pumping from the lower aquifer, and right here, this line right here is South Bay Boulevard, and this line right here is 11th Street, and the second line back is 500 milligrams, so that's not drinkable. Back in here is completely destroyed. And this one here is where it would end up in the very low aquifer, so as far as 11th Street, it would be completely destroyed. And that's based on steady-state modeling, which is an inexact science, and so we're not sure exactly what will happen. It doesn't indicate what could happen with global warming. And I just wanted to show these to show you how serious seawater intrusion is. It's an inconvenient truth, but we have to deal with it.
Thank you, Mr. Weimer. Time is up. Mr. Barrow, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Thank you. Good afternoon, supervisors, public. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing, Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment, and Los Osos Legal Defense Fund. And I want to show you this drawing that I just made. And it shows on the left the sand spit, which is the furthest portion of the aquifer. If you look down below the sand spit, you'll see a regional aquitard that separates this high-quality drinking water that 75% of our water is coming from right now. Okay. And if we look at this line right here, we'll see somewhere, as Mr. Weimer just pointed out, this is where the seawater has entered into the basin and actually taken the larger portion of our water supply already. This is what's left. As you can see, the triangle here is much narrower, the volume here is much narrower than this is. So even though the number of feet may be the same per year, the amount is increasing, so we've lost a great deal of water. And the question would be is, did you know that we're running out of water in Los Osos? Well, the county knew it because they knew that we were in overdraft 20 years ago. And CSA 9, which was the division of the county that takes care of the water supply in Los Osos, was responsible for it until they transferred it to the CSD in 1999. And we've had saltwater intrusion, according to Wallace Group, for over 20 years. And at the rate that the water is moving, the seawater is moving, we are going to be out of drinking water from the lower aquifer. That's a very serious issue for our community. If we don't have water, the value of properties will go down, home values will go down. We will have to look for alternate sources, which are questionable right now. The state is running out of water. We have water at Nacimiento, but it's very low. The lake is low, and the state water is very difficult to achieve. Even if we could get either one of those, we might not get enough to supply us. So that's a serious problem. And the cost of that would be about $2,500 per household to get just to get the infrastructure for an Aso Amiano water. So we do have some serious problems, and I think the community should be very much concerned, all of the property owners and all the citizens who live there, that we are running out of water. And this is a very, very imminent issue. We have been adjudged last year as resource management level 3 for water supply, so the severity is there. Everything has been documented, and what we're doing about it right now is not enough. The pumpers are using the same programs that they've always used. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Ms. Taylor, followed by Lisa Schicker.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone. I have been a resident and an activist for over 37 years, so I'm not new to this game. And it is a game. Distrust. In a July editorial, this paper, meaning this Telegram Tribune, the Tribune, praised county supervisors for hiring David Edge and Gail Wilcox, saying their conduct raises the specter of favoritism and gives the public another reason to distrust county government. Here's another reason to distrust the dismal of a dismissal of a 1,000-plus page reference complaint against Pavel Ogren, Public Works Director. Contrary to County Council Warren Jensen's assertion, the Tribune, August 19th, I believe the complaint contained evidence suggesting Ogren's involvement in self-dealing, bid rigging, conflict of interest, violation of design bill law, and improper contract procurement processing. Evidence describes Ogren's history of recommending no-bid public contracts and approving expensive changes, orders to the same firms over and over again, firms he worked for as a private consultant. The Board of Supervisors just ended a similar no-bid contract with attorney Clay Hall's firm, going out to competitive bid for the first time in years. According to Jensen, most of the evidence in the Ogren complaint remains unread and uninvestigated. Some of the evidence requires further internal investigation. I should hope you would be doing so. Supervisors say they won't tolerate unprofessional behavior, and serious allegations remain. Supervisors, please demand a full independent inquiry into Ogren's involvement with the Los Osos Wastewater Project and its links to the Los Osos Community Service District in 01, sewer contracts, and the Lopez Dam retrofit contracts. County taxpayers deserve nothing less. This was written by Lisa Schicker, and on the sidebar, I will say this. You wonder why people don't trust the County Board of Supervisors. This is not the first time this type of situation has developed, and particularly with the law firm, it is not something that we want to see continue. Put things out, contracts out for bid. That is what you should be doing as a democratic process for all of us to see exactly what is taking place. It's not new. You can do it. Do it.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Ms. Schicker, followed by Bill Garfinkel.
Good afternoon. My name is Lisa Schicker from Los Osos. In this session, in the general public comment, I'd like to talk a little bit about no-bid contracts. About a year ago, Calcoast News ran a story about Clay Hall and Gail Wilcox and a potential conflict of interest with their purchase of a house together. They exposed the story. It was followed up last week in the New Times by Colin Wrigley about how the Board of Supervisors has decided to go back out to bid for establishing more legal services by different firms. I want to applaud you very much on that effort. It's something I think is a wise thing to do with taxpayer money. I just want to say that there are other departments that need the same process. And you know I have this complaint out about the Public Works, and I work for Public Works. I have kind of a unique position on this. I work for the largest public works firm in the state of California. I work with contracts every day. I understand the procedures well. And I think that Public Works needs a closer look. The way they've been doing no-bid contracts over the years has got to stop. It's not good for the taxpayer. If you did an audit on some of your past projects, you would find that it has not served the taxpayer well. And that's my point, and that's why I want it done. It's for the taxpayers and for a fair process. It's not a personal vendetta at all. That's not the kind of person I am. So please take a look at Public Works, no-bid contracts, and change that process. Also, for the record, on June 2nd, I requested some information from this board and their council. He promised, Mr. Jensen promised he would get me this information. He has not. So I'm resubmitting it again. It's your policy regarding sole source and no-bid contracting, conflict of interest statements and policy, incompatible activity statements, and the local and federal laws that you used on your A&E contracts. And he had promised he'd get that to me. He still hasn't. So I'm submitting it again and making it a formal public request, a records request, adding for additional information about the Lopez Lake project and certain firms, Lou Corella, MWH, Pava Ogren, Cannon and Associates, Branham and Associates, etc. So I have it all in writing this time. Thanks very much.
Ms. Schicker, Mr. Garfinkel.
Good afternoon, Board. I have just a public announcement, a quick announcement. I just want to remind everyone that this Thursday, our Congresswoman Lois Capps is holding a meeting at the the Methodist Church here from 6 to 7:30 p.m., where she's going to explain and have a discussion on the bill that is currently in front of the House of Representatives, the health care bill. It's a rather important meeting, and I just encourage everyone who has an opportunity to attend that meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Garfinkel. That's our last request to speak in general public comment, so we'll close that segment and ask Madam Clerk to introduce our next item, please.
Item D1 is the update on the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Project, 2nd District. A, accept the monthly project update from county staff. B, receive public comment on issues related to the Los Osos Wastewater Project.
Thank you. Mr. Waddell.
Good afternoon, Chairman Gibson, members of the board. I'm John Waddell with the Public Works Department. If I could have the PowerPoint, please. Since the last project update in August, the project has reached a major milestone in receiving the approval of the County Planning Commission. On August 13th, the Planning Commission took action to certify the EIR and issue the Coastal Development Permit. And this action, while appealable, is a major step forward in solving the wastewater problem for Los Osos. It was the Planning Department staff who took the lead in presenting the project to the Planning Commission and working with the Commission to craft conditions and findings necessary for approval. Now, the Planning Department clearly put in a large effort and contributed many hours of staff time, and those of us down the hall in Public Works are very appreciative of their hard work. This slide is a summary of the results of the Planning Commission conditions on the project and is compared with the project proposal developed by the Public Works Department back in April. Now, the summary covers the basic changes in the project description, but it does not cover the impacts and benefits or pros and cons of the changes. A more detailed discussion of the revised project will be covered in the appeal hearing, which is tentatively scheduled for September 29th, and it would not be appropriate to have those kind of discussions at this time. So just to summarize the overall changes, for the collection system, it remains a hybrid gravity system as proposed, with the condition that pipes in high groundwater must be fusion welded. For the treatment process, the secondary treatment process remains extended aeration, which is as proposed, and then with the condition of adding a tertiary treatment process to meet Title 22 recycled water standards for unrestricted reuse. On the treatment plant site, it was moved off of the Tonini Ranch, which is on Turi Road, to the Giacomazzi property, which is behind the cemetery. On the treated effluent, the proposed use of the Broderson site at up to 448 acre feet per year remains. But then, rather than spray fields at Tonini, this is combined with a condition for an urban and agricultural reuse program, which through that program gives priority to reuse, to reuse that provides the highest mitigation of seawater intrusion. On biosolids, it remains hauling of unclassified solids to a landfill. Cold Canyon is the proposed destination. The commission added a condition that any alternative destinations that may be necessary need to be within the San Luis County area, which includes northern Santa Barbara County or the Santa Maria area. And then finally, on the water conservation program, the proposed project had a budget of $1 million and identified a retrofit program that was estimated to reduce indoor use by about 12%. The Planning Commission included conditions that require a $5 million budget for water conservation and set a goal of reducing indoor use to 50 gallons per capita per day. This would be about a 27% reduction over current use. The appeal period for the project, the deadline was last Thursday, and we did receive 16 separate appeals. The appeals are being processed by the Planning Department. They'll be included in their staff report for the appeal hearing. We also plan to post the appeals on our project website within the next few days once they become available after being processed by the Planning Department. And then the appeal hearing before your board is tentatively scheduled for all day on Tuesday, September 29th. There's a budget summary of the project budget through the end of July included in the staff report. There's approximately $233,000 of funds remaining. And of this amount, most of it has been allocated to existing contracts and leaves about $13,000 budgeted for staff costs. And as part of the appeal hearing, we do plan to include discussions related to the project budget and future direction on the project based on the outcome of the appeals. At that time, we'll seek direction on future work efforts, budget needs, and options on timing for adoption of the due diligence resolution. So I am available for questions, but will remind your board and the public that discussions of the details of the Planning Commission actions or the pending appeals should be held for that appeal hearing on the 29th.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Waddell. Any questions of John on this item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open it to the public. I have Dr. C. Height, followed by Eric Greening.
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos, World Community Workshop. This process would not hold up under an investigation by a federal grand jury, and this is why. The county itself voted for President Obama, and you only have to flip channels to be aware of specific requirements, and that is that projects will be funded if they are green. Now, I sat through this whole process in amazement and saw that the county pushed through their preferred project, saw that we were promised a way of filling out a survey. You kept being promised this by your staff of when we would get it. We didn't get it anywhere near when they promised the board we would get it. We had very little time to fill it out, and the process was biased. Now, the issue is so obvious that this is a water war, that if you consider the simple definition of fraud is to trick or fool someone out of something of value, that something of value was not just the water. Your proposal, your preferred project was going to remove the water from the basin. And I am outraged to hear a statement that was made during the Planning Commission that basically, if I'm phrasing this properly, is, well, we'll just get used to it. Los Osos is going to change. Los Osos, the water that has been the foundation of the greenery and the vegetation supports the life, the wildlife. This is all going to change. And we all go back to the fact that it is the county that approved this overbuilding that supposedly created the contamination in the first place. It would seem to me that only part of Los Osos needs a sewer. It seems pretty obvious that all of Los Osos did not need a huge sewer project, that only part of Los Osos needed a sewer project. You know, has anybody looked into trying to figure out, have they gone to the Attorney General about the Water Board not penalizing the county for approving the permits for the overbuilding, but penalizing then the homeowners? Has anybody done that? You know, it is absolutely amazing when I find out that there are wells on Farrell Avenue, and yet no one has been monitoring the fact that landlords with multiple tenants are not instructing the tenants how to keep the septic tanks healthy, and they're not pumping the septic tanks.
Thank you, Dr. Hyde. Mr. Greening, followed by Al Barrow.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I'm not going to speak to any of the content issues that are likely to come up on the appeal because the time will be right, presumably on the 29th, but I do want to speak to how to prepare for it relative to process. This will easily be one of the more complex appeals that has ever come before you. And to offer a fair and informed process requires, number one, even though all day seems like a long time, not having seen the substance of the 16 appeals, I have no idea whether they are on the same issues or whether they are from 16 different directions, raising 16 different issue areas. But it would be wise for you to have in reserve one or more backup days if you need a continuance, either to give a fair hearing to the substance of each appeal or because of further information that you feel you need to receive from some source or other based on the issues raised in those appeals. In other words, be sure to give yourselves time. Just saying there's a whole lot of appeals, we're going to give you 10 minutes each or 5 minutes each, is not going to do it. It may be that some of the appeals can present in 5 or 10 minutes, or they can say such and such appellant already raised my issue, and if that's the case, I hope the appellant will say that. But there are so many different issues. The other thing has to do with the structure of the hearing. In a process where the county is the applicant, and there will also be county people acting as staff, it is important to clearly differentiate the functions and the people carrying out those functions. You will have people on county staff from planning and building, from the Ag Commissioner's office, whose job it is to receive an application and evaluate and make a staff analysis relative to that evaluation. There are other people who are on county staff who are the actual applicants, and it should be at the beginning of the hearing. The people on the county staff should identify themselves as one or the other. And this is not to rush the applicant presentation, but to make it very clear, I think the applicant should be given plenty of time, just as the appellant should be given plenty of time. But when, after you've had the appellants, the applicant, the public, the applicant, the appellants, and you take it back to staff, we need to be clear who is staff, and that needs to be decided at the very beginning. Who is speaking as evaluating staff, and who is speaking as project proponent, as project applicant, so you can have a fair, clear process, and take your time.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Mr. Barrow, followed by Keith Weimer.
Thank you, members of the board, public. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low-Income Housing, Citizens for Affordable and Safe Environment, and Los Osos Legal Defense Fund. And I would like to comment on the scope of what you're going to be looking at on this Los Osos wastewater project. And the whole project, including the EIR and what you're looking at now, the coastal development permit, includes a background of all the technical advisory committee work since 2007, which includes the body of the tech memos. And in those technical memorandums, there's a lot of controversial assumptions that are made, and they were challenged, not only by us citizens, but by professionals. So I want to make you aware that you're not just looking at the CEQA or the coastal development permit, but all the information that they included in there by reference, and included a lot of other documents that were from prior efforts. So having said that,
I think there is case for constructive fraud on some of the misrepresentation of those technical memos, and we have plenty of engineers' testimony that the information was incorrect on step stay, which brings me to my main topic, which is the violation of 218. The assessment engineer described the project and the process and included gravity and step stay as competing technologies that would be brought through the design-build process, would give the community the opportunity to see the cost comparison of the two different technologies. We have been deprived of that, even though you got a vote from the assessed properties for approval of the 218, was based on one thing that you took out later on. Your board took out the step stake upon the recommendation of Pavel Ogren, and I think that's a violation of 218 rights and law, and I think you'll hear a lot about that in the very near future, and maybe some lawsuits as well. But the design-build process should have the step stake included in it. It is a less impactive by far. You're not tearing up roads, you're not digging up deep trenches, you're not dewatering. I mean, the list of impacts from the gravity sewer system, and you can mitigate them all you want to, are huge compared to step stay. If you've ever seen anybody install a gas pipeline, they go down the side of the road with a little small machine that has a drill on it, and they push this pipe through the ground, underground, they don't dig anything up. When you get to the other end, there's a truck with a spool on it, and they pull that pipe back through. That's all sealed pipe. It's gas, has to be. Step stake is the same way. So I think you've made a serious error in taking step stake out of the process, and I strongly object to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barrow. Mr. Weimer, followed by Stephen Page.
My name is Keith Weimer, Los Osos Sustainability Group. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I want to stress how important a strong conservation program is for the project, and how important a basin-wide conservation program is as a condition of the project to make sure the basin and project are viable. The Planning Commission set conditions on the project to strengthen the conservation element. And by the way, the 27%, I believe, is wrong. I noticed that Supervisor Patterson was also looked a little bit confused, but I don't believe it's set to reduce it that much. Anyway, we urge you to support these conditions. And we'd even like to see it a little bit stronger. The main condition set by the Planning Commission calls for retrofitting homes and businesses with high-efficiency fixtures and appliances. Each home and business in the prohibition zone, that's 85% of property owners, would get up to 1,000 worth of new high-efficiency toilets, a washer, showerheads, faucets. The program would start as soon as the project is approved, likely to be early next year, and the entire plan would cost about $5 million. A cost that would be offset by grants. This would be the same cost to residents of purveyors of the program, but they are not likely to on their own. They haven't done so for 20 years. We urge your board to direct staff to begin pursuing grants for the conservation element of the project now to cut costs for property owners. Estimates are that conservation program will reduce the pumping causing seawater intrusion by 200 to 300 acre feet. It can do so within about a year and a half of the project being approved. This is the fastest and most cost-effective way to reduce that amount of pumping and to slow seawater intrusion. The Los Osos Sustainability Group would also like to see outdoor measures along with LID options and leak detection added to the program. We think this will reduce another 100 to 200 acre feet, and it would be the quickest way to do that. We also want to see a basin-wide program implemented by the county emphasizing conservation as a condition of the project. This, along with shifts and pumping and reuse options at project startup, should provide the margins of safety needed to create a truly sustainable Los Osos Valley water basin and allow buildup. A strong project conservation program integrated with a basin-wide program emphasizing conservation is needed to save the basin. The San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors first designated the Los Osos Valley Water Basin at a level 2 to 3 severity in 1992, 17 years ago. There have been enough purveyor agreements, enough delays, enough buck passing. It's time to really do something about seawater intrusion in the Los Osos Valley Water Basin. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weimer. Mr. Page, followed by Ben DeFatta.
Is the overhead on? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. My first slide, or my first page, is the Trulia account of 84 homes being in foreclosure in Los Osos as of this afternoon. 42% of the homes in Los Osos are in negative equity. Before the 218 vote, we had a tax compact with the County of San Luis Obispo that seniors would be able to defer their income, the tax costs of the sewer. That program, the tax deferral program with the state, no longer exists. Now fixed income seniors will be put out of their homes to pay for the sewer if they can't pay the monthly $300 sewer bill. To pay for a sewer system that costs twice what a step system would using existing septic tanks is outrageous. 75% of all the septic tanks that were installed in Los Osos were installed after 1970 and inspected by county inspectors, and they're all two-stage concrete tanks, most of them. Why was there no study done using step with the existing tanks, and why was there no cost study on that? Why are we not being given credit on our properties for primary waste treatment in our existing step tanks in comparison with the gravity sewer? Because we should be given credit for primary treatment on our, because we are now doing primary treatment. Here's the load estimates. There's the load estimate for a gravity sewer. Coming out of the sewer pipe on our property will be BOD 350, suspended solids 400, total nitrogen 58. On our homes in Los Osos right now, coming out of the effluvient end of our septic tanks, is BOD 120, suspended solids 40, nitrogen 56. And we are given no credit for that treatment. Our septic tanks are supposed to be crushed and thrown away. It's a taking. You're literally, it's like somebody came in and you said, oh, your car is not efficient enough, and you just took it out of our driveway and made us pay for a new car. That's not efficient. It's not efficient economically for seniors. It's not efficient for the environment. I mean, the amount of environmental savings of not having to dig up 5,000 septic tanks is huge. Yet it wasn't even ever considered. And so, you know, it's upsetting to me when I can look in the Ripley report and I can see where they show an existing septic tank being used in the Ripley report and say that it is possible to use an existing septic tank. And I see that, and I look on the county LPC and it says that since 1970 that 71 to 75% of all of the properties in Los Osos have really good normal two-stage septic tanks that were approved by the County of San Luis Obispo.
I'm saying
this project costs twice as much as it should for
seniors. Thank you, Mr. Page. And Mr. Page, the clerk will want anything, any of the papers that went on the overhead, and anyone, including Mr. Barrow or Mr. Weimer, if you could provide your copies of whatever went on the overhead, the clerk does need those for the record. Mr. DeFatta, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Good afternoon, Supervisors. Ben DeFatta here again. It's been over 9 years. I'm not a hydrologist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a plumber. You mentioned to some of us that the gravity collection bio-lac treatment plant without tertiary would cost us $165 million. Remember when the old CSD directors were going to build this project? It started out at less than $50 million, and then $60 million, and every month it got higher and higher till it reached $100 million. These are round numbers. Then at the last moment, undercover, these directors signed a contract to build this project for $150 million. Despite the many shenanigans by that CSD and Roger Briggs District Water Board did to us, was the dirtiest of politics to this little community, making it unaffordable to a large majority of residents. Here's a photograph of nearly 1,000 people that was protesting all the above, had a recall, threw out those three directors in this disgrace. All three of them and their leader, Pandora II, stopped this project in its tracks. It was too unaffordable and wrong sight. These directors, Pandora and those dreamers, set us back another 10 years. Meantime, we're running out of water. How did we know that at the last moment the bid would not increase? How do we know that your bid, $165 million, will not increase 50% like it did 5 years ago? What assurance do we have that it won't happen again? Those are questions I want Mr. Ogren to answer. In your studies, it cost us so far $7 million. Please tell us, and for the record, what the cost of the several different alternatives would have cost us. You hijacked the system. Now we don't know. And if you do know, why not study them and give us the real price so that everybody knows that we're going to spend $20, $30, $40 million more than we have to. Thank you,
Mr. DeFatta. Ms. Taylor, followed by Don Bearden.
My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. On May the 5th of 2004, the pumping of water by the purveyors of water in the Los Osos water basin was put under court jurisdiction. Not until August 8th of 2008 was the ISJ approved. More than 4 years after the ISJ was agreed upon by all water purveyors. 4 years. Cost sharing was a part of the agreement. So the question is, why are all of the charges against the Los Osos wastewater project being charged? Example, the law firm of Golden State Water Company, Brownstein, Hyatt, Farber, and Sherrick. As a party to the ISJ, should they not be paying the money to the lawyers, not the sewer project? They are the legal representatives of Golden State. Regarding further budget items, we find that there is a understaffed labor. What is training? What is the necessary plus travel? For an example, what are we having under this budget? Is this training and this travel for a job classification? If so, the responsibility for the cost is not the public of Los Osos, the people of Los Osos, but the person who is going for an upgrade for a position. Why, as taxpayers, on our tax bills for state water, can state water be sold to Santa Barbara and the money be used for the flood control project in Cambria? All good questions, because we are paying as taxpayers for the state water project. Is this just to all the people in the county? When you take the funds that we have been paying on our taxes for state water projects and use it for the flood control in Cambria, this came up last week at the Board of Supervisors. At that time, the money that was used for the sale of the water to Santa Barbara that came to this county, according to Mr. Ogren, was used for the flood control project in Cambria. That's not just. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Mr. Bearden, followed by Jeff Edwards.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. I appealed the Planning Commission location of the project on the Jacamazi site, because I think the Tri-W site is a far better site to put it at, for various reasons I'll bring up during the appeal. But I would like to know how this appeal process is going to work. Are we going to group it all by location of the project and the different types and lump all the appellants together, or is each appellant going to get some time? So that's one thing. And how much time will each appellant get? And is that appellant just one person, or is that the whole group of people speaking on the same topic? So that's one thing. I also want to talk about step systems. As you may know, I have been against step systems forever, and I'll reiterate why I'm against step systems. Each property will have at least 150 feet square taken away by eminent domain. Large deep holes for new step tanks will have to be dug at each property. which people don't seem to kind of realize. The homeowner is going to have to furnish electrical power to the property. Trees, fences, landscaping, all kinds of stuff may have to be moved for the new step tank, if it's sent. And workers will have to come, be able to come on your property at any time for routine maintenance of the step tank and for alarms and some things going off at the tank. And reuse, and some other points about this thing, reuse of step tanks has been considered and rejected due to the age of the tanks. So we need to get at least 95% new tanks, probably 100%, or the contractor will not guarantee the tanks. Collection of only part of the prohibition zone has also been rejected by the Regional Water Quality Control Board. I heard that being brought up, that why don't we just reject or collect only part of the thing? That's already been done. We've already dealt with that. Why are we bringing it back up again? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bearden. Mr. Edwards, followed by Julie Tacker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a 25-year supporter of a wastewater project in Los Osos. As you know, the Planning Commission spent many hours and quite a number of hearings to consider the wastewater project. I have to say their effort was very well done, and they're to be congratulated. In spite of their good work, however, there's a lot of issues remaining. You've heard about 16 appeals. In my view, the most notable issue is the question of water resources, and in our case, the groundwater, specifically the lower aquifer. This continues to be a significant issue to be addressed. I would submit to your board that the measure of any option, the quality of any option for disposal, should be measured against its mitigation factor for seawater intrusion in the lower aquifer. Just to say that we're going to engage in effluent reuse and disposal plans without more specificity, in my view, is lacking. We have a $165 million project we're contemplating, and I think it's imperative that we get the wastewater part of it right, and we also deal with the water resource aspect at the same time for the same amount of money. I wanted to draw an analogy to a project that you're all familiar with, and that's the Nacimiento project. Its total cost is in the neighborhood of $176 million. The Los Osos wastewater project is about $165 million. The NASI project will serve some five communities, well over 100,000 people. The wastewater project will serve about 12,500 at its opening. The per capita cost for the Los Osos wastewater project is over $13,000 per capita. In contrast, the Nacimiento water project is on the order of about $1,600 per capita. So you can see the sizable cost per man or woman or child for this project in the community. You've heard from your staff that you're going to talk about the monetary aspects of funding this project further when it comes to you on appeal in late September. I would suggest or urge your board to consider the monetary aspects a little sooner. We realize there's $7 million spent, a considerable effort, but I'm afraid we're going to have to hit the reset button with regard to environmental impact report. It's apparent to me that we're going to have to prepare either a supplemental or a subsequent environmental impact report. I would not encourage your board to consider the prior EIR preparer, Brandman Associates. I think staff can do the job to review the environmental effects of this project. Mark Hutchinson of the Environmental Division is quite capable of performing this task. There's some $230,000 left in projected future cost for your project. I'd ask you to look at that, examine surface water discharge, and examine the Gorby site for treatment facilities. Let's incorporate both wastewater and water into this project. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Tacker, followed by Lisa Schicker.
Good afternoon. I am Julie Tacker from Los Osos. I concur with Mr. Edwards that the budget discussion should come at a different day. It's a separate discussion. I would like at least a separate agenda item for that day from the appeals. I think those are completely separate. You know, the Planning Commission took a field trip of Los Osos and the project's alternative sites for treatment and some of the pump stations and some of the environmental issues that were highlighted from the project were presented to them. And that was on March 20th, and shortly thereafter I came to your board and suggested that you do the same. It appears from this morning's agenda that you have September 15th available, and if you're not able to get your public works or planning staff to take you out there, please be my guest. I'd be happy to take you around Los Osos and show you the project impacts that are on the table. I feel sorry for your planning staff to try to turn this all around. Some 16 appeals, there's 111 or so conditions, there's going to be 111 or so contentions. To turn this around and to try for you to try to hear it all in one day, that's a big job, and I'm sorry for them. A little history: in July of 2003, the Planning Commission heard the Tri-W project. It wasn't until October of 2003 that the Board of Supervisors was able to hear it. The project was very large, and staff needed all that time, some 3 months, to prepare. It was then appealed to the California Coastal Commission, and it was another 6 months before their staff was able to turn a report around, and substantial issue hearing was heard, and substantial issue was found in April of 2004. That's 6 months after the Board of Supervisors. 4 months later, the de novo hearing was heard. That was August of 2004. And then a revocation request was, they approved the project in August of 2004, the Coastal Commission did, and then a revocation request came before them in April of 2005. The permit was not issued to that project until August of 2005. We all know it was just a mere 3 weeks later that the board of the Los Osos CSD had the three members recalled. But what I'm trying to tell you is that each of these staffs need all the time and all the analysis that they can get to bring the project to the decision makers. And I think you've put an unfair burden on your staff.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Ms. Schicker, followed by Chris Allaby.
I'll get that in a minute. Hi, my name is Lisa Schicker from Los Osos again. I want to talk about the formal complaint that I filed in relation to the current situation. Most of you know that in about April of this year, I started speaking about my concerns after I heard that the board abandoned the Step State promise, which was the promise they gave the community for a fair evaluation, and then somehow Montgomery Watson Harza, the firm, got shortlisted. Couldn't believe it, considering everything I know as a past elected person myself. So I just started passing information to you. I thought it was important. I turned it into a formal complaint. Before you know it, you have 1,300 pages. A lot of them are attachments. A lot of them are documents with some cover emails from me, about 10 of them. If I know you gentlemen know what the complaint's about, but the basis is, how did Montgomery Watson Harza make the short list, and how could Ogren, with his past with these firms, still be managing the project? That was my request. Remove Ogren from the project and remove MWH and redo the bidding process, because a mess was made of it because of that. So that was my complaint. Warren Jensen never called me when he delivered his report to you. I wish he would have, because I'd have liked to have been here, since I put a lot of effort into it. And basically, it is a preliminary report, I understand that. But his take on it is completely wrong for me. I wasn't on trial. I wasn't supposed to be proven wrong or right. I wasn't in a court of law. Yet that's the approach of the preliminary report. I'm giving you information that I think you need to know, because of Los Osos taxpayers, who are your clients. This is information that should help you with decisions. I'm not trying to be proven wrong. You're supposed to take my complaint and go forward with it, not backwards and prove me as I don't know what you think I'm doing this for, other than I feel like you need this information to do the right thing for the people. That's it. And so the most egregious concerns of mine are still not addressed, and that are these: violation of design build code 20133, which says you can't hire MWH. Carollo should have never hired him. Mr. Ogren should have never hired him without the legally required waivers that were needed. That happened in 2006. I've got the letter if you want to see it. Second one, the interview panel. How could Mr. Ogren let Lou Carella, who has associations with these firms, do all the phone interviews and reference checks on all the people who were applied for that position? How could he? How could you do that? They were associates, business associates. He should have never been on the panel. He made all the calls. All those scores went into the complaint. Bad move. Really dumb move. Okay, so that throws out the results right there. That's a total conflict. And finally, the removal of the step stag, as you promised the community, is a violation of your 218 engineer's assessment report, as Mr. Page and Mr. Barrow brought up. Those are the big issues. Finally, Mr. Jensen himself potentially has a conflict, and it's because he, along with Gail Wilcox and Paul Ogren,
thank you, Ms. Schicker, and
did the
2701
implementation strategy, and
Schicker,
he needs to be removed.
Thank you
very much.
Your time is up. Thank you. Mr. Albee, followed by Lindy Owen.
Chris Albee, a CDO number 1019. I'm gonna harp on the saltwater thing again. We've got tests that show the saltwater intrusion is on the way to destroy our water basin, and if we continue to ignore it, let's make this an agendized item and get some answers and stop the issuing of permits throughout the water basin, not just the prohibition zone. We have to get this problem. We need answers to the questions and get this problem solved. Just a real quick one here. Under the circumstances we're in here, it's very adversarial now. We should get our 3 minutes back regardless, and a speaker should be allowed to turn in speaker slips until I'm sorry. Until I have time for a response. What's really bothering me here is the fact that our public works director isn't licensed or have a degree in engineering. And what about the other engineers involved in the project that we have on staff here? I realize everybody can't be an engineer in the engineering department. You have secretaries and record keepers and whatever. But you think that the guy or whoever that was in charge of it would at least have to have a degree or a license in that field. That applies to almost any trades. Mr. Ogren himself stated that he had no experience in retroactive projects or any large projects, and I think it's fairly obvious now why that is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Albee. Ms. Owen, followed by Elaine Watson.
Good afternoon, Lindy Owen from Los Osos. I'm glad to have 3 minutes today. I wanted to first comment on an article in the Bay News that Jack Beardwood wrote from this last week. It states that John Waddell from Public Works stated that we are not going to advocate for our project because there have been some positive changes. There are 170 conditions on the $7 million worth of project that this staff came up with. Does that bother any of you? That much money was spent to come up with such a flawed project that does not even address the other concerns about cost. The public complaint that has been put in needs to be investigated because it influenced the decision to remove step systems from analysis. The very promise that we have all gone along with hopes that we would get a fair process was removed. And even ponding systems are not being looked at. There are very valid reasons that evaluation needs to go forward. It's mostly competition. And you know that the community of Los Osos was most concerned about the cost of the project. To randomly throw out $165 million for a project and then think that that's okay to spend at least that much, when we know that the step system and the vacuum system are under $100 million per project. If you won't let that go through a competitive process, then you have failed my community. The next thing I wanted to comment on this article was that Supervisor Gibson said that he could not comment or give his opinion on the new project, and he said, "I have to keep an open mind," and then he also suggested that he needed to retain neutrality. I ask all four of you, did you consider that it was an open process up until the printing of this article? Has Mr. Gibson kept it open and said that he would do what the people had asked and what was promised to the people? An open competition? Design build? Ask yourselves that. There are over 170 conditions on this project. That is unprecedented. That means it was a bad design, and I believe $7 million was wasted. I don't want to spend a lot more money getting there, but I'm willing at this point, if you guys would make sure that this process gets straight now, instead of having to go through legal, there will be lawsuits against the failure to do what you promised to do. And I wish Assemblyman Blakesley would come in and take responsibility for the mess that he unleashed, but obviously he won't.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. Ms. Watson, followed by Richard Margetson.
Good afternoon. Elaine Watson, Los Osos. We began this discussion about a wastewater project because the Water Board said Los Osos has to improve water quality. Although they were talking about reducing already low nitrate levels, what we have discovered along the way is a far, far more serious impending catastrophe. It will indeed be a catastrophe of monumental proportions if we lose our aquifer to seawater intrusion. The Water Board, the county, and the purveyors have ignored the encroaching seawater into our water supply for almost 20 years. While playing something of a shell game with nitrates, the nitrates have distracted the agencies from the real issue. It's well known that seawater contributes many times more of the contaminants to the water supply than do nitrates. All the agencies claim their hands are tied and absolve their responsibility by passing the buck. The Water Board to the county to the purveyors. The purveyors have one mission, to pump and sell water. And although they are beginning to take some steps in the direction of basin management, they still have a short financial horizon rather than a long-term sustainability approach. Serious critical management is imperative now. These are a few questions that need to be answered. CLEAF has done all the studies for this project, including the EIR. When are we going to get a second opinion from an independent, neutral expert on the current status of the basin? We need that data. Since all individual wells may test may be an anomaly in either direction, do you plan to test other wells, such as the 10th Street test well, to determine the extent of seawater intrusion? Seawater intrusion is compounding at an annual rate. This, coupled with current overpumping and questionable percolations at Broderson, appear to be setting Los Osos up for a point of no return. How will the purveyor's process of changing pumping patterns solve seawater intrusion over the long term? If a sustainable basin management program is not adequately implemented, and given current conditions in the state regarding water availability, drought conditions, and water shortages for other communities, where does Los Osos line up in the pecking order to receive imported water, and at what cost? These are just a few of many serious questions with serious consequences. I hope you take them seriously. And to follow up on Eric Greening's remarks about the appeal process, I hope, given the consequences and the scope of this project, that you will give it its complete due. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. Mr. Margetson, followed by Elon Perlman.
Richard Margetson. Elaine asked a lot of questions there. I hope some of them get answered today. I did not file an appeal because after more than 2 years and dozens and dozens of comments at TAC meetings, monthly updates on Los Osos office hours, it took the Planning Commission to finally size the project to the appropriate per capita consumption rate, and it took Rob Miller at the Los Osos LOCAC joint meeting in August to give the correct build-out population number, which he did on camera, which is on tape, and I hope staff pick that up. I also hope that all of the supervisors have watched all of the reruns of the Planning Commission meetings. I think it will help you greatly when September 29th rolls around. We heard from Mr. Bearden that I guess his appeal is on the Tri-W project coming back. You saw Mr. DeFatta hold up the picture of the Move the Sewer contingent at the property where the community center in Los Osos sits. 800 people that afternoon who came out for no other reason. No hamburgers, no hot dogs, no refreshments, no band, who walked through town to that site for the purpose of one snapshot of a photo voicing their concern about a project being built next to their community center, the Catholic Church, across the street from the Chamber of Commerce, and next to our only park in Los Osos. $127 million is the assessed value you can collect from the citizens of Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone at this point. You spent $7 million. That leaves you $120 million. There have been significant changes brought about by the Coastal Commission the Planning Commission proceedings. When are we going to get revised estimates of what the project may cost, and how are you going to fill that gap? I also think at some point you need to give an update on where we are with some of the funding alternatives, SRF, the Department of Agricultural Funds, and other funding sources. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marsden. Mr. Perlman, followed by Maria Kelly.
How do you do? My name is Anderson. Sure. And your visual aids, please. My name is Alon Perlman. I live in the Prohibition Zone. I'm not a member of the Los Osos Sustainability Group. I did attend two of their very early meetings. But I have been, prior to coming to Los Osos, I did operate as a scientist. This, by the way, for the clerk's notice, is Mr. Weimer's map, so when I submit it to you, I'll be submitted as his again. I thought this map wasn't busy enough, so I added the contour. This is this, all right, well, this is the edge of the bay. When Mr. Weimer initially showed this, the blue area, this blue area, was misunderstood by some of the people looking at it as being water. Actually, this is underground, and this is the actual surface shore is here. But what really is important is the additional numbers here at the Palisades Well, because this confirms that the numbers confirm that at this well, which is deep into Los Osos, the important isochore of 250 has it reached. And in fact, it reached it. It took 3 years to go from 61, from 2002, 61 went up to 120. That's a doubling in 3 years. And that pattern has remained. If you look at these numbers, it took 3 years to double again from 120, which is still drinkable, to 250, which is essentially the point at which blending takes place, at which the water starts to have a taste of salt to it. One thing that's not been done yet, and Mr. Weimer also supplies this, although this is directly without any modification from the engineers, is he's identified with this line that this is the Palisades Well. These maps are not identical, but if we flip them back and forth, you see right here, this, it's a pull, push me, pull me, you situation. There is a vector
This is going to pull it. Even if every well stopped pumping this day, everything, there would still be a hydrodynamic pull in this direction for several years until it got filled. It's a very serious situation. There will be salt water over here. No matter what you do, there will be salt water in this area. This relates to Broderson. If Broderson does not actually directly penetrate to this aquifer, but Broderson is a very... If water is not hitting Broderson in the next few years...
Thank you,
it will actually end up pushing salt water in.
Thank you, Mr. Perlman.
Thank you.
Ms. Kelly.
Hello, my name is Maria Kelly. I'm a resident and property owner in Los Osos, and I don't even know where to begin, but I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy to be here in support of the county. I'm happy to be here in support of county staff. Again, I'm a broken record on that. They've been extremely professional, helpful, diligent, and very responsive to the community. And I'm here today, as I always am, talking about maintaining our focus towards a resolution. It's like the wheel with the spokes to the center, where the center is the resolution. Learned it in, you know, philosophy classes. Some people are still running around the outside of the wheel. There's some people that are going up the spokes. I'm hearing a lot more areas of agreement, which really make me hopeful. And I'm still just focusing on the center, and I'm hoping that you're able to do that as well. The distractions are being repackaged for 30 years. These distractions are being repackaged. They get a new name, they get a new spokesperson, but the issues continue to be the same, whether it's seawater intrusion 30 years ago or seawater intrusion today. There's a repackaging and a deja vu, and you go back and you speak to residents that were there 30 years ago that have been tracking this. It's so frustrating. And they stand with you, they stand behind you, they're there. And they encourage you and they applaud you to continue to keep your focus and make these tough decisions. It is going to be hard. And the financial impacts are going to be, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I've already had to take one job due to budget cuts at Cal Poly. I'm willing to take another. I love Los Osos that much. I'm willing to do what I have to do to keep my family there and raise my children. Doesn't mean as decision makers we have to blink, it just means we have to stay focused. The only way that Los Osos is going to continue to maintain any type of strong footing on resolving and developing policy on the water issue is as the wastewater project gets resolved. We need to continue to develop our water policy in conjunction as the purveyors, as the community of Los Osos, as the wastewater situation gets resolved. We do have the opportunity to develop a sustainable supply and maintain the integrity of our basin. But it's not by raising up our hands and stepping back and saying one more study, 10 more years, and continue running around the outside of that wheel. It's about making those decisions and getting to the center and staying focused. And I'm here today to support you, and I have neighbors and friends in my community and in surrounding communities that support you, that are very aware of the difficult situation ahead of you. So, again, I applaud you, and I thank you for your time and efforts.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. That was my last request to speak, so we'll close it to the public. Bring it back to the board. Mr. Waddell, any staff comments on wrap-up here?
No specific comments, so many of the comments and questions related to the Planning Commission action and pending appeals, so we'll defer those to the hearing. There were some questions on what is the process and format of the appeal hearing. The Planning Department staff are handling that. I know that right now they're in the process of processing the 16 appeals and have prepared letters back to the appellants, and so those appellants can be looking for more information come back from the Planning Department staff.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That was one thing I was going to mention. The Planning Department is assessing the various topic areas and the overlap or lack of overlap on items to be discussed. The appeal will be heard on the 29th. As to Ms. Schicker's concerns, for especially the listening audience, I'll reiterate again, Ms. Schicker submitted a large quantity of information in two different submissions. Mr. Jensen has gone over the first submission and written very conclusively and testified orally that there was no concerns raised by the allegations she's made. He has also reviewed briefly at least, the bulk of the other 1,000 or 1,100 pages, and again has assured us that there's no substance there. He is awaiting finalizing a report. It's not a matter of proving Ms. Schicker right or wrong. It's a question of investigating the allegations she's made, and it's his conclusion at this point that there is nothing of substance there. So we'll await his final report on that. In terms of other process here, as we indicated, the appeal will be heard on the 29th. In discussing with staff further need for board time, we came to the conclusion that it looks like once the appeal is concluded, that the actual staff work in terms of public decisions will again ratchet down. You may remember we had this on weekly in 07. We went to monthly in 08 and 09. It's our considered opinion that we can go to a quarterly report or as an as-needed basis once we get past the appeal hearing. So at this point, this will be the last monthly update, and we'll schedule other updates as appropriate. In terms of the outreach, my office hours will continue for September. Because we are ahead of the appeal, we will have office hours on Thursday the 10th of September and Thursday the 24th of September, 4 p.m. till at least 5 at the Sea Pines Golf Course. And again, starting in October, we'll drop back to a normal once-a-month office hours on the fourth Thursday of the month, which is the Thursday before the Los Osos Community Advisory Council meeting. So with that, there's no action item on this, and we are adjourned for the day.